right, everybody. Today we have the badass Christian Wild on the show. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, brother?
Chilling, man. Trying to get through this whole thing that we have right now in the world.
Yeah.
I like your shirt. I just looked down. Fucking golden girls. Stay golden.
Stay golden, baby.
That's fucking awesome, man. How are you doing? How are you holding up with this whole thing? I feel like this is kind of the way the recent podcasts have started. It's like, you know, let's do a catch up on how people are coping with this dilemma that we've got found ourselves in.
Yeah, we're doing okay, man. Holding together. Mental health is super important, but it's like definite roller coaster.
Right.
There's days where it feels like, okay, I feel like I have some hope. I have some faith. I think that we're going to make it through this thing. You know, we'll come out the other side. And then there's other days where it's real dark. You know what I mean? It's real dark, feeling real sad, feeling really angry, feeling real scared. I think kind of par for the course for most people at the moment, you know?
Right.
Doing your best on a day-to-day basis, just trying to, you know,
right,
roll with the punches.
What as far as like, because I agree with you 100% with like the good and the bad and the, you know, there's the medium days too. What are you doing? Like at your, with you and in your household, what are you doing to kind of keep the mental health up? Cause obviously there are bad days that you can't control. Like, what are you guys doing to kind of keep it going?
We get outside. That's smart. You know, we get outside. We're real big on, going out into nature, going out into the trees, trying to get away from the hustle and bustle and the kind of chaos of it all. Go to the skate park. You know, get a lot of good energy out at the skate park or just go skate the streets.
Right.
Some meditation helps, you know, trying to just maintain like general health and wellness things that are good for you on a day-to-day basis, you right. know, and doing that seems like a tall order sometimes. Like
exactly.
Getting a full 8 hours of sleep, getting some good healthy nutrition in you. Doing that type of exercise, all that can seem like a lot on certain days, you know?
Right. I think it just in general, I think when people, we ended up with so much time on our hands with people not having anything to do. And obviously there's people that are still working and the essential people and stuff, but the ones that have found themselves not having something to do, not having that permanent schedule anymore to have to deal with, I feel like it's suddenly, it was so easy for them to get up and go clock in and do their job and come home from their job and be the person that is at home, whether it's a partner or a parent or what, you know, or whatever. And then all of a sudden everything disappeared and people are like, oh, it's just so tough for me. Like, it's so weird that you used to do so much. And now that you have so much time on your hands with none of that to do, for some people, it seems like an extreme to just take care of themselves to say, let's go for a walk today, or let's do some meditation, or let's do yoga, or let's do something besides sit here and eat, drink, do a drug, or, you know, something that's just not doing anything.
Right. Right. And that's a big part of it. You know, even before all this started, like I noticed that when I started feeling out of balance or out of whack, like I could look at those kind of simple things in my life. And if they were lacking, you know, if they were out of balance, I typically felt out of balance and out of whack.
Right.
And trying to just refine it to simplicity and not take my mind and put it out there on all the things that are happening and try and keep it boiled down to these simple ideas of like, okay, wake up. Okay. Stand up, go brush your teeth. All right. What now? Coffee. Okay. We can get some coffee. Let's go. You know what I mean? Step by step, take a shower. All yep. right, cool. Showered. Got the shower down. You know what I mean? Step by step, keeping it real simple. Try and stay relaxed as much as possible. But
it's tough, man. There's days like I had a day. I was telling a story recently on the podcast. I think I told the story with all the shit that's going on, because there's heavy shit. Heavy. Like, take away the COVID, and there's this world is so fucking heavy right now, especially in America. Exactly. With like Black Lives Matter and everything that's going on. And I'm happy. I'm sad that it's going the reason it's happening right now, but I'm happy that it's happening because there's change coming, and I feel really confident that it's coming. But recently I was watching, cuz I made myself watch all the videos, all of the things that suck to watch, the things you're not going to unsee, And I finally had enough. One day I'd watched one too many, and I sat over and watched my little one watching it, and his eyes kind of got a little red. I lost it. I sobbed for like 20 minutes, like uncontrollably. But then when I got it out, I felt like I'd stayed strong. I'd done the things that I needed to do. I did my way of supporting the way I could, the best I could from my position. And then when I broke, nothing but me is all I focused on, because I needed to at that point, because I'd kind of overdosed, if you will.
Yeah.
And then I had about a day and a half of just fragile, like everything, like the wind would blow it. I'm like, why? Like, I was so emotional. But then once I came out of it, I was like, fuck, I got it. I still did the process that I needed to do. And now I'm a stronger person on the other side, so I can go back to what I was doing. But at the same time, it showed me a level of, okay, ease back just a little. Like, you were so in there that now you're not healthy. So you need to pull back enough and still do. And it's a comparison of like the, I told this story too, is like staying in a lane, like all the, as long as you're on the road going in that same direction, you got all these lanes, man. You can be powerhouse out here fucking protesting and doing the thing and supporting everyone that's doing it. And sometimes the same road going that way, the far lane over here, is just you taking care of you.
Slow down a little bit.
Yeah. So you can get back over here, but you've got to find, there's, as long as we're all going in the same direction, I feel like that. And that analogy was pretty cool to me. So.
Oh, 100%. I'm normally very, very calm, very, very relaxed. Like, nothing really perturbed me. You know, I was never really a guy that was high stress or anything like that. Genuinely very mellow, you know?
Right.
I just started having panic attacks.
Damn.
I don't know. I feel so terrible for people who suffer from like anxiety and panic attacks on a regular basis, because if that's how it feels on a regular basis, that shit fucking sucks. Yeah. You know,
it's a fear.
I was watching a movie, or no, we were watching a documentary of, you know, one of the most, you know, one of the awful documentaries, you know, one of the fucking hundreds that are out there about some form of, you know, racism or oppression. I can't even remember which one it was.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know if I can watch this. You know, I don't know if I can watch this. Like, the anger and the upset was just so strong. And all of a sudden I'm on the floor and I don't feel like I can breathe, and I'm hyperventilating. I got tears coming down my face, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Right.
This is insane. You know, and if that's what it's doing to somebody who normally has like calm, cool, mellow disposition, you know, there's got to be so many, like you said, outside of the pandemic, outside of that, we've got, you know, this is a major civil rights movement happening, you know, for the equality of people. And it's super heavy to be dealing with all the emotion of it and the anger. That's the thing that I always came back to. I'm like, if I feel this way and I'm blonde and I have blue eyes and I'm white, I can't even put myself in a place where I could begin to imagine what it must be like.
Exactly.
To have a child who's a person of color, or to have family or friends or loved ones, let alone yourself. You know, right. I could be concerned with myself, kind of like fucking whatever. It's like, but the people that I love, you know?
Right.
It's such a heavy thought. It makes me emotional, because I think about how much pain and how much anger and fear there must be. And you can see it, you know, you can see it in the society that we're living in right now. All these people are feeling so much pain, and it's so hard not to be weighed down and taken with that pain. And like you said, like, I was out there and I'm in it and I'm watching the videos and I'm just getting more and more and more on fire, and just the rage, you know, but it's just burning inside of me.
Right.
You know, I just, it makes me want to go out and just burn things, and it's not beneficial. It's not positive. It doesn't help anything. So dialing that back a little bit, not getting super, super deep into the really, really gnarly stuff, but trying to put the focus into a positive, like you're talking about, being on that same, on the freeway in the same lane, just need to slow that shit down a little bit so that it can drive a little bit longer, you know?
Right.
You can't do 120 miles or down I-5 the whole way, bro. You're going to burn out your gas.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to blow the gas. You're going to blow a tire, you know, set that shit back a little bit, put it on cruise. Let's get in there for a long haul.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So one of the things you were talking about how you, to try and wrap your head around and seeing the way you see it, and then you're like, then you try and like, okay, this is how it's affecting me as a white person in America. I can't even imagine that. And it made me sit here and think. And that's why I was kind of, my eyes were shifting around. There was a movie, came out in 1996. It was called A Time to Kill. Did you see that movie? Matthew McConaughey, where it's about, he's a lawyer, and I think it was Louisiana. It's in Southern town. So he's always sweaty, and it's kind of back in the day. And he is, representing a black family who, I think their child was killed. He was mauled by some fucking racist pricks. And he stands in front of the jury, and he's trying to do it. And, Samuel L. Jackson's in there. I think Samuel L. Jackson was the father, I think. But they're poor. They don't have any money. And he's like, fuck that. I'm representing you for free because this is bullshit. I'm tired of this kind of shit. And he stands up, and there's this, if you haven't seen it, and if you're ready to watch something this heavy, because it's heavy, especially with what's going on, he stands up in the courtroom, and he leans over the jury, and he starts telling blah, 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 blah. And he describes exactly what happened to the little boy. And he said, now imagine he's white. And the whole fucking place just lost it and started sobbing. And that was like, just so hearing what you just said was this, it's the same thing as like I hate that I can't remember her name right now. The teacher who said, all the white people in this class, I want you to raise your hand who want to be black. And it's the same thing. It's like, so it's like put yourself in that spot is probably never going to be able to happen, but being at the same time so aware of the society that we live in, that it does affect you as profoundly as it did, to me says something positive. I think that's a good thing too, because there's a lot of people that are watching shit like that, and they're like, so not my fault, or all lives matter, or some stupid shit like that.
Bro. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So, all right, let's get out of the heavy stuff real quick. Because I'm not going to get too heavy. So what do you do to kind of circle back a little bit? What do you do for meditation? You said that you meditate. Is this something that you just recently started doing, or is this like you have been doing meditation?
I got real, real heavy deep into like Buddhism and meditation when I was a teenager, like late teens, 18, 19. And really fell in love with it, and then just kind of backed off of it a whole bunch and completely fell off. So this was a really good excuse to start back up.
Okay.
But it's like a lot of the time it has to do with the breathing. I like sitting outside. A big part of like my morning routine is like, I make my coffee, I go outside, I have a sit down, and before I mess with the phone, before I mess with, you know, all the other stuff, I have a sit down, 5 minutes, just deep breathing, counting breaths, you know, eyes closed. And then after that, I'll take a sip, you know, a few sips of coffee and try and think about some positive things, think about the day, and then get going.
Right.
And it tends to work. It just kind of sets the tone better for the day, rather than like hopping up out of bed and just kind of like, okay, you know, we're going. Yeah.
Right. So you kind of start your day off with a process that puts you on a better path than the stumbling around going, okay, what are we going to do today?
Right.
That makes sense. That makes sense. What attracted you to, what was it that you were like, you know what, Buddhism, that's what I want to start kind of thinking of? Because you said you started at a younger age. Was it something like you just were like, someone told you about it? You saw like Buddha itself, the crying yogi, like what were weeping yogi? What was it that made you go, huh, I want to know more?
Well, no, I started, I think it was like, so I joined AA when I was a teenager. I got clean and sober and joined AA, and through the AA thing is kind of like a big part of it is finding some sort of higher power or spirituality that helps you to, you know, kind of guide your life, be a better person type of thing.
Right.
And so through doing all the kind of different research, somebody, you know, part of AA is a big part of his meditation. And so through the process of learning about meditation, I started studying about Buddhism. There's all these great like present day meditation guys, you know, listen to, you know, there's podcasts, there's audio books, there's even, I like that meditation is so customizable. You know, there's like probably 1,000 different ways that you can meditate, eating meditation, walking meditation, all kinds of different silent meditation. And it's scientific. That's what I liked about it. Right. I liked that there was all evidence that's like, it will change your brain. we've plugged machines onto people's heads and watched what it does when they do it. And right. this guy's activating more of his brain when he's doing it. And it's like, okay, now we're getting into some serious territory because you're showing actual benefit to this practice. You know, it's a big part of health, I think, you know. I think that we're just beginning to tap into the like the understanding of what the human body is actually about and capable of, and understanding how much what we put into our body, what we do for it, affects how we feel and how we think. And so that kind of, and like I'm normally, I can be a real angry guy. You know, I got a lot of dark shit that I kind of hold on to sometimes, and it's easy to go down that dark path. And the meditation is kind of like a combat against that, where I can say, I want to train my brain to go in a different direction instead of that. Right. You know what I mean? If I'm having some thought patterns or some bad behaviors or whatever, I can kind of train that away using meditation to focus more on things like love and positivity and helping other people and things that bring me joy rather than, you know, not.
Right. Okay. So let me ask you this. And because one, I've been actually thinking about doing meditation because it's not like I don't have the time to do it. Right. And it seems like it's good. I need to, cause I talk a good talk, but I'm so terrible about doing like self care mentally. Like if I need to pull back, I pull back. If I need to do other things, I do different random things. Can't say that they're always healthy, but they make me feel better at the moment. Or either I just try and find things to do. Like I started today off with building a custom table because I need something to do. But there are those days where there's nothing going on and I'm like, I need something. Today's going to be the day I'm going to meditate. Today's going to be the day I'm going to get my yoga mat out and I'm going to stretch. And yeah. March 13th is when all of this kind of the shit hit the fan. And today is July 6th. That's March, April, May, June, July. We're about 4 months deep. I've stretched once. I sit on a heating pad. I bitch every day about my back being sore. And on the days that I don't have a lot to do, I sit and fuck around. I play games with my kid or whatever, you know. And then I'm like, you know, I got to stretch tomorrow. I'm kind of a little fragile today. So I really want to sit down and start learning meditation. 4 months.
I totally get it.
Zero.
I totally get it. I've been meaning to become like one of those guys that does a bunch of handstands and like lots of body weight exercise stuff.
Well, see, I've seen that. And I'm also very inspired by that. I was watching something yesterday and this dude did a handstand. He came down on his elbows, went back up, and then his body shifts down from the hand. So this is his head, shifts down this way, and he's now holding himself. You know, have you seen them do the push-ups that way?
That would have been me.
But have you seen these guys that they're nothing touches the ground and they start doing push-ups that way? I want to see that, Christian Wild. You, sir, if anybody can do it, you can. And it would inspire me because you're the same height I am, aren't you? You're 6'4" or
6'5"?
6'3". Oh, maybe it's the nakedness and the cock size that makes me think you're bigger than me. I don't know. So can we talk about your sobriety? Are you cool about talking about that?
Yeah, 100%.
So you said how old were you when you got sober?
16.
Holy hell. And since then you're still sober?
Yeah.
I
smoke weed now. But so. I do smoke weed, but I don't drink any alcohol.
Right. And that was the thing that you originally got sober from, I should say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because to be honest, like it's not that like I talk about this with my friends, like for my whole life, most of it, I was in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I was a big part of my life. I was really active. All of my friends, most of my friends were like still in AA or do kind of, you know, but. And it's not that it failed me. It was just like, I kind of got to this point where I was like, okay, so real side tangent, got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis, got real bad.
Okay.
Tried a bunch of different medicines, came across CBD as an alternative, tried that, got some relief, and then did some research into THC, and the people that smoke weed were having really positive results with the pain that they've suffered from this disease. And so I was like, fuck, all right. It's kind of like the last chance here, you know, and I was really suffering truly.
Right.
And so like, let's give it a shot. And you know, weed's been pretty much one of the only things that has helped me to relieve any sort of pain or, you know, without fucking me up and stuff. And alcohol would only intensify what I got going on. Right. So it's like, perfect. I don't need to drink anyways. You know what I mean?
Right.
So now I kind of use weed medicinally, and then I still don't drink.
Now, is there any recreation with that? Or you every once in a while in the afternoon, you're like, you know what? I'm not in any pain.
Oh, but 100%. Yeah, yeah, 100%. I'm like a real big marijuana proponent. Like, I'm a huge marijuana proponent over alcohol. Because it's like, dude, I've never, you know, shit myself or pissed myself from marijuana. I've never passed out or, you know.
Never had dick problems.
Seriously. You know what I mean? It's great. It makes me more horny. It's pretty much awesome in every single way.
I'm slowly making the transfer over. Like, I partake in both on a daily basis. And I, especially with the drinking, have been doing it long enough that I'm like, I'm getting to a, the same way. Cause I was, I think, yeah, when you and I used to work together, I was still a heavy smoker, cigarette smoker. I haven't smoked in what's today's date? Almost fucking 5 years. Like, I just woke up one morning and was like, I can't get a full breath. And then my next thought was, well, it must be humid. And then I got pissed. And I'm laying here in bed, just as calm on the outside. But inside, I'm like, you stupid piece of fucking raggedy shit. You can't breathe because it's fucking humid. You fucking loser. And you want to get up and go fucking. And I'm screaming at myself. But outside, I'm just sitting there. And I just tore into myself. And I was like, you know what? If today is the day, it's the day. I don't care. And I just look, because I was like, I'm not going to say, okay, now I'm really never going to smoke. I just was like, I'm pissed. I was like, I don't care. And I got up and I got to the, I just like, I'm not going to smoke at the station, the train station. I'm not going to smoke, walk into the armory. And then when I got there and put my stuff down, at this point, I would have had 4 or 5 cigarettes already. Yeah. And somebody in the office is like, hey, you want to go smoke? And I'm like, no, I'm cool. And I never said, I just did. I just, because you say no, and no one's going to be like, well, why not? They just go and do what they're going to do. And I went through the entire day and just kept telling people no. And it was stressful because I kept having the itch, but I never scratched it. And I got home and I walked in. And the wife had waited, because her thing was she was a stay-at-home mom. She'd wait all day until I got home, and then she was like, hey, you want to go out and smoke? And when she said it, I was like, I haven't smoked all day. I don't think I'm ever doing it again. And she's like, "You no, you didn't, motherfucker. You don't quit on me." Because we had a date that we were going to quit together. She was so like, you can't, like, go outside. Like, I've been around people smoking all day. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And it's been, I haven't touched it since then. Like, when they made weed recreational out in Nevada, we were like, well, we're gonna do edibles because I don't know about the smoking thing. And now we do vaping, and we are super like, oh, there it is, like super lightweights because of it. But so I'm kind of getting to the same point with the drinking, that I'm like, I don't drink a lot. I do it to take the edge off. And then if I drink less when I smoke more, so there's that kind of, I'm finding that medium. And I'm like, dude, I've been drinking like a fucking fish for a long time. At some point, my body's either going to give out or I'm going to have to stop doing it. So I'm like, you know what? I'd rather stop doing it on my own than something horrible happen.
Yeah, get ahead of the game.
Exactly. So speaking of performing, sir, you were quite the performer. You have done lots and lots of things. And then you took a little break for a while and it popped back up. Because you took a break for whatever personal reason may have been. What made you say, fuck it, I'm going back?
So I think it was like 2018, beginning of 2018, I did like my last scene and I was getting ready to move to Germany.
That's like right.
At that point I was, I'd become an EMT and I was still working. I was working part-time on the ambulance and I felt like I had arrived at this point in my life where I was like, man, I feel just kind of over porn. I feel over porn. I feel over sex work. It doesn't do the same thing for me that it used to do. My life is different. I had a kid starting to think differently about the future, you know? And so it was like, man, I don't think that this is really where I want to put my cards, you know? And not that it's a bad thing. Like, it's not.
Right.
It was just like I wanted to do something else, you know what I mean? And so we moved to Germany and with the intention of just like that's where we were going to go live our life. You know, we were going to go over there and start a life up over there. And I was going to like try and transfer and become an EMT and work on an ambulance. And then I got hella sick.
Oh, from what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. This ulcerative colitis, it's like Crohn's. So it's like an inflammation inside of the wall of my intestine.
Fuck.
And mine is in the lower part, like the first 20 centimeters of my colon. And like, it was insane because I went from like 200, 210 pounds, deadlifting like 450, benching like crazy, super buff, like got really into fitness and got really yoked and was like awesome. And then symptoms started and like I'm shitting blood 10, fuck, 15, 20 times a day and I can't eat and I'm lethargic. And it, like every time I have to go to the bathroom, it feels like there's glass coming out of my body.
Fuck.
You know what I mean? Like, it was insane. And it went over like the span of like 2 months. Like I was like good and then not.
Right.
And I dropped 50 pounds, got hospitalized a couple of times. Like it was super, super intense. It was one of those things that happened where it completely switched my outlook and my perspective on my whole life. You know what I mean? Like my legs got chopped. I was like healthy, fit, strong, all good, eating like a fucking cow. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was like, you're not immune, you know?
You're not like the Superman you thought you were.
Went, boop,
right.
Put you right back down in your spot, bud, you know?
Right.
And it made me realize how fragile and important this little life that we got is and how, you know, super important people and my family and, you know, my kid, my wife, the people that mean the most to me, I want to be with the most. You know what I mean? I want to like, come here. I want to just, yeah,
I'm not ready for this ride to be over yet.
I realized how quickly, and I got a little taste of that when I was working on the ambulance, because you could see how just quickly life got snuffed out for no reason.
Right.
And, but then when I felt it personally, it was like, okay, this is a different ballgame. Now I understand. I understand that people's lives can be altered very quickly. You know, all of a sudden you're not safe from that ever. And it's just, it's such a valuable thing to me now. And once I got better, like I started up on this real heavy medication, got real like 80% better, started putting back weight on. And I was just like, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? We moved back because I was just so unhappy and so depressed. And it was winter time in Germany. It's fucking 15 degrees outside, pissing rain. Like it was awful, you know, like I want to go home. Like I want to go back to California. And so we got back and it was like at this place of, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go now? Like you're in this kind of limbo zone. And then all of a sudden, like I started talking to some old friends, some old industry friends and stuff. And they're like, OnlyFans. You know, yourself, you know, just for fans, this thing, do it over here. And I'm like, huh, okay, this is a thing now. This isn't just me relying on other studios to book me so that I can make a living. This is me making my own content. Oh.
Controlling your own shit.
This is me making my own business.
Yes, sir.
And allow my fan. Oh, okay. This is a different ballgame now because I've always loved sex work. The thing that sex work provides me is the opportunity to spend the most amount of time with the people I love the most and have to do the least amount of work. I think me personally, I'm not lazy, but a 40-hour work week is bullshit. I won't do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I can't justify giving myself to some other entity and taking that time away from the other people that matter to me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go work for a fucking Starbucks or something so that I can make some dickhead coffee and be away from my family. Like, right. I want to be, you know, and I don't like being beholden to people. I don't like people having, you know, authority over me and being able to, having to ask to do shit. I hate that. You know right. what I mean?
Like, I tell people we're blessed. We're blessed having that kind of shit because we have, because a lot of people have to. There is no choice. So and I tell people all the time, I was like, you know, we chose this and then we became successful at it. So, and I feel like it's a blessing from whatever you believe, whether it's Buddha, God, Zeus, or Satan, you know, it's still something special to be able to do something like this and make a living at it because a lot of people can't. And it's also not, and I try to tell people this too. It's not, oh, well, you're just fucking on camera. And well, everyone can fuck. Well, There's acting. There's keeping your body in shape. There's edging. There's doing all the things that you have to be able to do. And then once you get all that down, now you have to do it in front of me and four other people while I continuously get in your way, get over your shoulder. I'm touching you. My camera person's touching you. The conditions usually suck. Eight times out of 10, there's a funny smell in the air somewhere. Somebody, whether it's a crew member or a person, somebody, you know, am I lying? So there's these things. Everybody thinks it's the most glamorous thing in the world. It's like, you know what? If porn was scratch and sniff, I don't think it would be as popular. So to say all of that, man, is it's still a blessing to be able to do this.
Secrets out right now. Oh my God. That's too funny. That's the truth.
So I do say that with meaning that it truly is. It's a blessing to be able to do what we do, because I think the reason that we became successful, and anyone that's successful in anything outside of a 40-hour work week kind of thing, is because they probably weren't designed to succeed that way anyway. And I think everyone has the potential to be bigger and better than life, but it's the integrity and the desire and the drive, because I tell my little one this all the time. He's like, well, he sees me do this. And he's like, well, you do that right. And you know how to do this. And I was like, you know how many times I fucking failed before I got it right? And if
I, and don't I mind, it's because a lot. You got to do it a lot of times.
Yeah. You don't get good just by waking up and doing it. So, anyway, so you came back, you found out that there was OnlyFans and Loyal and all the other ones. And then you kind of started going, hey, people, I wouldn't mind shooting for you guys too. So you started kind of coming, but did you decide, fuck it, I'm going back in full force, or are you just kind of easing back into it?
No, I'm pretty much going back full force. Like I set my OnlyFans up and I made the decision. Like, I kind of started up with some webcam stuff just to see, get a feel out there. Like, hey, what do you guys think? Should I come back? Cause I'm insecure to be honest. Perfectly keep it 100 with you. I'm insecure. I'm, you know, a little bit unsure of myself, not always the most confident. So I was kind of, you know, it's been 3 years. Maybe people don't fucking give a shit that Christian Wild wants to make a comeback anymore. I don't know. You know, maybe some people are going to be like, look at this clown, you know? And so I kind of put the feelers out there about, should I come back? And everybody was like, yes, 100% do it. Fuck yeah. I was like, okay, cool. I'm getting like good positive feedback around it. Started up the OnlyFans in January. And then I was like, cool. Now I'm going to start putting out the feelers. You know, setting that stuff up with different content creators, reach out to my friends and see if I can get some stuff going with them. And then boom, got tested, shut down. I think I got tested like 2 weeks before shutdown.
Ain't that a bitch? Cause we had you on the books to come work with me. We'll work on one of our sites.
Like, I was going to come up. Yeah. I was going to work with Kink. I was going to work with Bound Gods. I was going to work with Lance. I was like super pumped. I was coming.
And then burp, burp. I don't think I have a dirt dirt sound effect over here. Let me see. I actually first try I found it. And you were almost exactly on it when it was going. Nice. So, and that sucks because it's like it's you're like, I'm here. Oh fuck, all right, I'll wait. And that sucks. But at the same time,
I was ready. I was fully ready. I was like, I got my flight booked, I'm going to Vegas, let's do it.
And it's still going to happen. We gotta figure it out. Like, I was just saying, I don't know how many times I've said it on the podcast. I know I feel like I've said it to everybody because I do all these things now. I spent close to 6 hours writing up an SOP, standard operating procedure, for how my studio is going to run once we go back to shooting. Fucking hours. And I wasn't like, oh, I wrote something, let me go fuck off. Like, 6 hours, my head was down and I was just writing, going. And it was supposed to be just answering a simple questionnaire. And it turned out that I sat there and spent 6 hours and wrote, instead of just answering a handful of questions, I got so detailed about how I was going to do it that because I'm fucking meticulously like OCD when it comes to shit, or OCD meticulous, whatever. But I was like, all right, well, now I know it. So we got it. Like, we've taped off the floor at the studio, so we're ready to go. It's just a matter of us finding or feeling safe and it being something. Cause there's companies that have gone back. There's people that are shooting already. There's people that never stopped. There's people that never fucking stopped. And it's, you know what? Do you? I also, but I told him when this started kind of really hitting the fan, I'm like, I see you. I see all of you motherfuckers. What the industry has said, Free Speech Coalition stepped up and said, we're done. Shut it down. And you motherfuckers kept shooting the whole time. I see you. Every one of you, producers, models, all of you, agents who are calling your fucking models, because don't think that they're not calling me. I'm friends with them. They're, hey, JP, I'm in kind of a dilemma. My agent called and told me to shh. Well, tell your agent to suck your dick. Like, don't, that's, they're in the wrong. So, and that's my opinion. People, you know, do whatever the fuck you want. There's no law that says we couldn't, but we were trying to be safe. Just like there's no law that says we have to wear a mask, but we're trying to be fucking safe. Sorry, I just yelled. So
I get it, bro. I get the anger. Cause I'm in the same boat. Like this was almost a real blessing for me, because instead of coming back in 3 years later and having a different atmosphere and almost a different industry, I'm kind of getting to sit back and watch from the internet and social media and learn about how things are now operating and learning about how people are doing their marketing and how they're getting their fans and also how they're behaving. You know what I mean? Because there's all this new crop of models, like there always is. Yeah. And then you get to watch and see how they behave and see what kind of person they are when the shit starts getting real, you know what I mean? And before, I might not have known that, you know, like this the Black Lives Matter thing, like it's exposed a lot of fucking people where I'm like, whoa, cool. Thank God that I know that now about you. You know what I mean?
And it's not
thank
even
thank God that I can get stuck with you in some scene later down the road, not knowing what a fucking dickhead you are.
Right. There's that, or it's, and also the thing that's going on in our industry right now is people are finally, and I've talked about this openly on my podcast forever, is that there, and it's just like any, I mean, probably as an EMT, you probably, there was somewhere, something, you know, Susie was getting fucked with by Billy. Like somebody is always going to cross a line. We just, unfortunately, it's a little more exposed because we're sex workers. But it's, and I don't know how much of you've been seeing this, but there's been call outs. Like these girls are fucking done, and they haven't called them all, but they've called several to the point that they've had petitions and they've had petitions signed. And there's certain performers who they're not even allowed on Pornhub. You know how bad you got to fuck up to get kicked off of Pornhub? That's, I mean, you have fucked up severely in this industry. There's tons of these people who have done horrible fucking things or been accused of. Some have been proven, others have just been accusations, and they're still working. All of their shit is still everywhere. So, like I say, you got to fuck up really bad for fucking Pornhub to be like, okay, that's it, we're getting rid of all your shit. Because they got shit up there right now that's probably illegal to even be on the internet, and that's still up, but this one person had to have a petition and the whole fucking industry stare at Pornhub and say, the fuck are you going to do? And they're like, oh shit, we'll fix this. So I don't know. I think it's a good thing because the models are at a place like you with the OnlyFans and the loyal fans and the Just for Fans and all of the things for fans that you now get to dictate how you do things because you don't need the studios. And all of the models that are putting in just putting in work, not hustling, not busting your ass, just putting in work, doing kind of the things like I'm talking to the wife, telling her shit, maybe I should start jerking off on. She was like, you know what? Start recording it. And then if you ever decide to push the button, she was like, then you'll have all the content you need.
Dude, I'll be subscriber. I'll be subscriber number one.
I was telling, who was I talking to? I think I was talking to Mickey Mod, and I was telling him, I was like, I feel like there's somebody. I feel like my face just got red. It did. I was telling him, I was like, I think that, you know, I don't know how much of a market there is. He was like, you're a fucking daddy, like in all aspects of like, you really have a kid. You're an older guy. You're not working out all the time. Like you, he's like, there's nothing wrong with the way you look. He was like, oh yeah, you're going to get it. And I was like, So know that the recording's going to start, Christian Wilde. I don't know that it's ever going to get released, especially if I sober up.
That from my perspective and knowing what I know about my side of the industry and the gay side and being more familiar with that, sir, there are very, 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 very large amounts of gay men that would love to watch you jerk off.
Oh, I believe it. We found out years ago at Kink, one of the marketing people came up and they did the crossover. So, you know, Divine Bitches has this much crossover from Sex and Submission and this much crossover from Hogtied and blah, blah. So they were giving all the crossover. And then they came to me and they're like, so JP, we're going to go back and rerun these numbers, but Hogtie and Device Bondage have the largest amount of gay crossover than any of the other straight sites. And they're like, you got any idea why that is? I was like, it's probably because of me, bitches. I'm good looking. So I was like, I took that as a fucking honor. I'm like, I got the biggest out of all the kink sites. I have the biggest crossover coming to watch me. I was like, I'll take that all fucking day. So
hell yeah,
fan's a fan. I don't give a fuck. Speaking of you doing the stuff, because this is something that I has it. No, not every, I was going to say almost every male, but not every male. Most of the men that I've had on the podcast actually do crossover stuff. I've had Lance. I just recently interviewed, holy fuck, I'm an asshole right now, Michael Vegas, who I knew he was a huge butt slut, but I didn't know that he had actually done gay porn for a while. So do you have a preference over what you shoot? Do you just not give a fuck about, is there if you had to, if, not even if you had to, if you, do you care as long as you're just working?
As far as like what I'm shooting with or who I'm shooting with?
Right. Is there any certain, do you enjoy, you know, pussy more than ass? Is it men more than women? Or is it kind of like you just love what you do?
I would definitely say that I lean more towards enjoying women more, but it's so hard to explain. So I started gay porn when I was 18, straight as an arrow. I mean, got in it, like saying that because I knew that it was like kind of this cultural thing with gay men that they liked straight guys. You know what I mean? I knew that I'd gotten my dick sucked by guys before and messed around with guys before, but like I played that straight role and I'd always get cast as like the straight dude and the tough guy and the, you know, the badass or whatever.
Right.
And my sexuality started to evolve when I started flying across the country to go shoot, because I'd go to Florida and I would be like, man, nobody knows anything about me here. Like they don't know my life or who I am. I could just be however I want to be. And so then I started opening up. I started like messing with guys more. I'm sucking dicks in clubs and having fun. And you know what I mean? It was great.
Right.
And really just having a fun time. And, but really struggling with that, you know, struggling with like, what, okay, I'm enjoying this, but like I have a girlfriend, but I'm, you know, I'm supposed to be straight, but I don't, and I didn't, you know, nobody had educated me on any sort of like, I got my education through porn. My whole understanding of like gender identity and, you know, sexuality and how wide of a variety there is came from pornography. You know, it came from the people in pornography who were non-binary or who were transgender or who identified as a they or who, you know what I mean? Whatever the case may be, like that's where I got my education. And so slowly I started becoming more and more okay with being like a fluid person and not necessarily having to be, you know, a straight. I was like, I'm in love with this person, so I'm going to marry her. You know what I mean? Like I don't, if I fell in love with a dude, I'd marry him. If I fell in love with a trans woman, I would marry her. Like, it doesn't really, I don't care. You know, a person is a person.
Right.
Sexual, there's, like, most of my typical, I'd, like, view my wife as a goddess. I view her as a goddess. I would, like, lick her feet and just fucking.
She's a beautiful woman. I've seen her before. She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. She's the only person on the planet that I feel that way about, though. And, like, so, fuck. Her is different than like dude sex. Cause when it comes time for dude sex, dudes are animals. Dudes are filthy. You know what I mean? Like we're here to fuck.
We're pigs.
We're not here about your emotions. We're fucking pigs. Like right. We know what this is about. And so it's a different type of animalistic, more of a like, you know, an instinctual shit. To fuck a guy is way more like rowdy and rough. And like, I enjoy that too. You know what I mean? Like there's, and then I like twinks and then I like, you know, fucking bigger bodied people as well. And I like trans women a lot too, but I, you know what I mean? Like I'm just all over the place.
Right. So you're very like, fluid with everything for the most
part. Yeah. Yeah. There's like a whole gang of shit that I can look at and jack off to.
Right.
You know,
which is, I feel like it's phenomenal. And I feel like at the same time that people, cause the way you said it, the way you started off very much identifying as I'm straight. I've had this happen, but I'm going to claim this, I'm going to fly this straight flag. And then when you had the opportunity, you started kind of going more in the direction of, wait a minute, there's more to me. There's more layers, if you will, of what I enjoy. And I wonder if people in general, because as I've gotten older, I've noticed the things, because, well, you know, when I was younger, it was like, it was this, this, and this, and that was it. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know what? That's kind of hot. And I make porn for a living. I don't know if I've told you that or not. And so I'm exposed to it all the time, and I follow all these random people and do these, you know, different things. And there's times you're sitting here clicking around on the internet, and all of a sudden your cock twitches, and you're like, oh, well, shit, oh, I'm going to watch the rest of this real quick. It was a preview on Twitter, but now I'm going to see if it makes it twitch again, because then I might think about jerking off to that later, which is something that I never may have thought of. But you get to a point where you're like, it's you start, I don't know if it's being older, and you kind of let it down to where you just don't give a fuck. You're like, you know what, or you become more comfortable with your sexuality, or it's you're exposed to more. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's weird to me that I feel like the older I've gotten, the less... I joke now that I'm straight enough. Like, I've never been with another guy, but like, I look at a guy like you, I can look at you and be like, and I see more of you and Wolf Hudson jerking off on my timeline than probably anything else. Like, there's times I go through there and I'm like, I got to put this in my pocket. There's way too much dick jerking going on in front of me right now. And then you throw like Lance and Sebastian in there too. And I'm like, and cause I follow all of you guys. So I'm like, well, you know what? Fuck. I'm gonna put my phone away, cause I'm out in public and there's too much dick flying dicks around. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I think if I was in my 20s, I don't know that if I would have been me comfortable enough seeing that going on to where now, or even Owen Gray, to where it's one of those things where you see it and you're like, it's kind of hot. We can still be friends and I can watch him jerk off. That's cool. So I feel like it's for sure.
Like, I arrived at this place, like I said, like getting sick did it for me. I just don't give a fuck. I don't have the time. You know what I mean? Like, I always get to this point where I'm just like, I don't have the time to give a fuck about that.
Right.
You know, like, I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to have fun. I'm here to enjoy myself. I want to get rid of that fucking bullshit fear of judgment, or fear of what other people think about me. It's still there, don't get me wrong. Like, I care about, you know, what people think about me, and I'm trying to get rid of that. But,
well, we all do.
My life is mine, and I want to do the shit that makes me happy, regardless of what the fuck other people think about it. You know what I mean? Like, you're not the one living it. You're not the one doing it. You're not the one feeling the emotions from it.
Right.
Leave me the fuck alone. Leave me be. I want people. I let people live. Just let people live and enjoy what they're doing. As long as you're not hurting nobody, do you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Be happy. Be happy. I'm not trying to judge you or look at you bad. And it's that's the place mentally that I'm like, all right, now I'm just like, I'm horny all the time and I'm a pig. So I'm trying to fuck all of you. Like, do you want this dick? Because I'll give it to you.
That, in my head, I'm sitting there going, maybe. Because the way you just got eyeballed with me, I'm like, fuck, why are you looking at me like that, Christian Wilde? So one of the things, too, that's changed that I'm sure you've noticed is prior to your exit from the porn industry, there was this stigma, and it's still here, but there was this bad stigma of crossover. And for anybody that's listening for the first time and have never been exposed to that term, crossover is when a male performer, because it's not for females, it's only for males, male performers who fuck men, women, or transgender people, which are still men and women, but we have to classify so everyone understands. So men who fuck women and men are considered crossover. But when women fuck women and men, it's considered straight. So the point of this conversation is that prior to 2018, right, it's a head scratcher. Prior to 2018, it was really a thing to where most of the agents did not allow their girls to work with crossover performers. And there's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of stupid shit that comes along with it. Anyway, I was about to start, but I'm like, I'm not even getting into this. Well, this is another thing we'll have to talk another time about. So anyway, there's a stigma, and if you guys want to know, it's not that hard to figure it out. But since you've been gone, bi is the new thing. Bi, I feel, and I said this months ago, 6, 7, maybe even 9 months ago, that if I, because everyone's like, if I just could figure out the next thing that everyone wants, if I could figure out the next incest porn, because I am so sick of mommy, daddy, cousin, step, fuck you on everything you see. And I was, and I kind of came to terms with, I was like, you know what? I think it's buy stuff. And I think it was Aiden Starr who really started pushing it through Evil Empire, Evil Angel. And I was like, this is really hot because this, every barrier has now been pulled down. And also while you were gone, trans women have become a lot more included into the mainstream because you've got Angela White and Cherie DeVille and Adriana Chechik and all of these names, big name girls who look at their agent and was like, fuck you, I'm fucking who I want. And it's now it's, that's becoming, the taboo is going away, and taboos are whatever they are, but you understand what I'm saying. It's like, it's becoming more acceptable now for trans girls to be girls. So that's a beautiful thing. But now this bi thing is happening. And I think it's amazing because there's now you have an orgy. And in my head, it's kind of what an orgy should be, which is everyone fucks everyone. So
yeah. And you ain't swinging tonight, baby. This ain't a swinger party.
Everybody's
fucking you.
Yeah, everything's getting fucked. And I think it's hot. Yeah. I think it's super hot. And I started kind of coming up with different ideas of stuff because, like I said, I'm straight enough, but I also can watch stuff and I'm like, you know, watching like stuff that you've done or watching like Wolf and Lance. And I'm like, this is really fucking hot because it's primal, because the two buff dudes are really going to stick it to that poor little girl. And all of a sudden one of them's like, well, hey, you want some help sucking that dick? And you're like, fuck, that's a lot hotter than I expected that to be. So watching it as someone who enjoys seeing it, I'm like, I want to maybe start doing something. And then of course, like you said, bam, we're going to shut the world down forever. But the cool thing is it's, you have like, Lance is starting his thing. I forget what it, him and I were just talking about, but he's got his site that's coming out. That's going to be bisex, and Wolf is going to be doing it. And I personally, I think it's fucking phenomenal, and it's about fucking time because it's finally pulled back to where it's not like, you know, he fucks guys, right? Like, it's gone. Like, it's now you.
Yeah, look, it's hella hot. Go jerk off to it. It's right there.
Right. It's super fucking hot. It's super, and it's, again, the stigma's gone. And when you have models with a big enough name who tell their agents, fuck you, I'm going to go fuck Christian Wilde and Lance and Wolf and whomever else I decide I want to fuck. Well, now, again, we go back to where I was saying, to where the models, you guys have the power now. The agents can fuck off because they can't control you because you don't need them. You make your own money. You've laid the fucking groundwork. Now it's just sit back and fucking enjoy it and do what you want. And we're at a point in this industry where it's blossoming, I think, for the first time in a long time. Sorry, I'm all kind of winded today about talking about shit.
No, dude, I'm into it. I'm right behind you. I'm excited to have this conversation because I've been literally sitting, staring at my fucking phone on Twitter for months, watching this unfold and not being able to talk to anybody in the industry about it with, you know what I mean? Because it's like, this is big shit. I think part of this call out thing that's happening, where all these fucking pieces of shit that are abusing, you know, men and women in the industry, and it's getting called out, is a big help for a push for advocacy for performers. Like, we performers are the industry. Content creators are the industry. It's not the big fucking high up dudes.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not the people. And like you said, once you start making some decisions as a content creator that you're going to make the shit that you find hot, like Aiden Starr did with making all that hot buy shit, you start to influence what people find attractive. Because you can start pushing this, you start pushing this content and people start getting behind it more and more. And like you said, the stigma falls away, the taboo falls away. It becomes more normal for a guy like JP to say, you know what, I like that.
Right.
Real hot, you know? And I think that that's a huge, that's such a fucking cool thing, you know, to have performers have all this power all of a sudden. The whole time it's been about, who's your agent? Oh, I'm a this girl. Oh, I'm a that girl. Oh, this guy is my agent. You got to go get with him so that you can get the good shoots. Not no more, bitch.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Now, and like you said, like these new studios are starting to pop up from guys that are going to be making hot, ethical, really quality content that's going to just push the envelope. You know, Lance Hart has been a fucking innovator from the jump, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm so in awe by that guy and the shit that he produces. I love it. The same thing with Wolf. You know, Wolf has been just like a powerhouse. Who survives in this industry over a decade?
Very few.
Not that many.
Nope.
You know what I mean? And to be able to do that is such a feat in itself. And to have something like Lance or Wolf come out and be like, now, guess what? Boom, we're coming out with our own stuff. And it's like, now we're getting started.
Now it's time to shine.
That's why it's so frustrating to just be sitting at home, because I feel like I'm like a racehorse ready to get out the gate. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think it is. I feel like it's there's still a lot of change that has to happen, you know, and there's a lot of conversations that we still need to have. But I feel like we're getting there, and we're moving in the right direction of doing the call outs and putting people on blast. And however, I mean, and I haven't been the victim of one of these fucking horrible acts, but I could never say you shouldn't call them out on Twitter, or you shouldn't be quiet and only talk to someone behind closed. I don't know how but I tell you this, whoever needs me to stand behind them or wants or whatever, or anything they need from me, tell me. I'm right here, because it's done. To have producers, directors, whatever the fuck they want to call themselves, the people who figured out which way to aim a camera and what button to push, and because they had some fucking clout, so suddenly they can be the one that says, suck my dick and I can get you some more work. You motherfuckers, it's time to go. Bye, bitch. It's time to go.
Yeah.
So
it's not that time no more.
Mm-mm. And because you don't have to, and like I said, it's so many people, and unfortunately, fortunately, I haven't heard a lot of stories from men, or as many as I've heard from women, and it still sucks nonetheless that whoever it happens to, but to have that mentality of, well, I did that because I thought it was, I should, so I could keep working, and I didn't want to make my agent mad, and it's changed. And unfortunately, there's still not a place to tell these people, and I don't want to just say the girls, because it's happened to guys too, to tell people that you don't have to do that. You can start with OnlyFans, and you can do this, and you can do that, and you can start your own brand, and you can start your own website. You can do all of these things on your own. And I'm actually working with Lance on that project that he's working on to say, hey, I'm going to give you all the knowledge I have. And because he came up with this brilliant idea that the best way to change the verbiage and to change the direction that this industry is going is give the power back to the people that should have it, which are the performers. And so he's like, I will teach you everything I know, all that I've learned. And he was telling me this, and I liked it on Twitter, and then I kind of text back and forth with him. And I missed one. I skipped out on one because I forgot about it, but I've been in every one of the meetings, and I've done a video for him, and I'm like, dude, I'm here no matter what. I've helped him out last week with one of the meetings. And it's the same thing of, I'm willing to give you the all of the information and all the tools you need, but you still got to do the work. And that's the part that you can only hope for, because you can't, you know, you can lead a horse to water kind of thing. You know, you can't make him drink. But at the same time, it's being done in a way that before, nobody taught Lance. Well, people teach you a little bit, and then you got to put in the work to find out the rest. And if you don't put in the work, you're not going to go anywhere with it. So to have people who are more than willing to give up all of that information free and take their time free. And so there's a lot of it that goes into it. So I feel like, but it's doing the initiative to try and give people the power to tell the agents, bitch, you work for me. I don't work for you. I don't give a fuck who, whatever girl I am. No, you're my agent. You don't hear fucking Johnny Depp. He doesn't get up and go, hey, I'd like to thank, because everyone else has thanked that agent. He gets up, he may thank his agent, but he's not top of the list. See what I'm saying? So it's the same. And I don't know, maybe it is. I'm not as into Hollywood as I am into porn, but I've never heard an acceptance speech start with, I'd like to thank my agent.
Right.
So, and it's not and it's not to say that agents aren't amazing and they're not important, but in our industry, the dynamic got switched somewhere. And I think it's getting switched back, which is good.
But yeah, the dynamic needs to change. I'm all about that advocacy, man. Like I'm in your same boat. Like I want to be able to be a voice for people who don't feel like maybe they're, you know, strong enough to say something or something like that. Like, I think I've never been in that position. Like you're talking about, I've never been the victim of any kind of abuse or anything like that. And I've always been able to, I don't know. Maybe I've just gotten lucky. I don't want to say, like, I have an easier time being assertive and standing up for myself when things don't feel right. That's not the case for everybody. You know what I mean? Some people, they feel, and I wasn't always in a position where I needed that paycheck, right? There's so many times where people need that money to feed their family. And this is our job. And then to have that taken advantage of, that's what I want to stand behind and stop. Like, it's, I want to be able to stand behind people that maybe don't feel as comfortable speaking up for themselves. So it's all about being involved in the process. Like we have people like us looking out for ways that we can keep people more safe. And like you're talking about, like making procedures on set, making checklists, making sure everybody's on the same page. Like, these are things that should have been happening for a long time, but they haven't been. It's really good that they have, that they're starting to now. But the part of that power to go into the performer is that now we can make adjustments to our side of things, and we can set the standard of how things are done. And we're going to stand and say, no, this type of shit is not going to happen when we make content. This type of thing is not going to stand. It's not going to fly here.
Right.
You know, and the, like, I got immediately behind Lance on that idea. I thought that was brilliant. You know, we talked about it, and he's like, you always have to go searching for these secrets on how to do this. And I had to fight tooth and nail sometimes, and people, you ask people questions and then they go, well, you know, you kind of have to just go do this thing. And he's not about that. He's, you know, level the playing field, put it all out there. Here are the tools, pick up the tools, build your house.
Yep. Do the fucking work.
You got to do the work, but here's how you do it, to lay that out like that. I'm firmly behind that. Like, there's no limit on how much success is at the top. You know, there's no limit on how much money can be made or how, you know, how big somebody can get. I'm trying to promote people up. If, you know, I don't need to be first place. I want everybody coming with me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know? I mean, I can tell you this now. Peter, the guy who started kink.com, he started doing this. And you and Lance and I were talking about this recently. Is, you can go look at like the first several, probably 30 or 40 hog tides, which is what started all of kink.com. And Peter's wearing like blue tennis shorts and a button up, and he's barefoot, and there's cables everywhere, and there's ladders, and there's light stands, and it's nothing. Like, you look at the hog tide from the beginning and look what I'm doing now, you'd be like, they don't even No, they're not even close to each other. That everything was done differently. Like I said, but you got to start somewhere. And I guarantee when he was doing it because he was passionate about it and because he loved it. And he thought, I could probably make a couple bucks. Did he think when he started, and I should maybe ask him if he ever wanted to do one of these. But I'd love to ask him the question. Like, did you think that you were going to build a fucking, this empire that you built and occupy a fucking castle in the middle of San Francisco and be the leader in all that is BDSM, like all of it? And I guarantee
everything.
I'm willing to bet you money he's going to be like, well, no, of course not. But who knows? He may be like, of course I knew I was going to do it. But I don't think anyone starts with the idea of knowing that they're going to be the biggest or the best.
No, I think he would just have fun.
Yeah. And then it suddenly happens.
You just wanted to see it done. And so he did it.
Because there was a miss. There was a spot that was missing in the internet. Well, back then when he started this, people didn't know what the internet was. Because I think he started Kink, I think it launched in like 95.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's been around a long fucking time. So when he first started it, he was actually, I think he said, the story was that he was scanning, because he wasn't even sure what to do with it. So he was like, I think he was scanning magazine articles, like nudies or something like that, pictures that he hadn't even taken, because it was the Wild West back then. So you did whatever you wanted. And he would like scan like these articles or whatever out of this magazine that he really liked. It was like, you know, you had to go in the secret door and go behind the building. And then once you got in the really dirty place, then you had to go behind a curtain to go find the bondage stuff. He'd go back there and buy the magazines and scan them and then put them up on the internet. And that's how he actually started Hogtide. That's all gone now. That's not up anymore, but that's what actually started Hogtide, was scanned articles from hard to find magazines that were in like the super sketchy, scary spot of the, before there was the dark internet. It was what the world was before the dark internet. Crazy, right?
God bless the dark internet, man.
So, what the fuck was I about to ask you? Damn it, that quick it was gone. Son of a bitch. Oh, well, let me ask you this then. What's your favorite type of food to eat? What do you like to eat?
Sushi. Real big sushi guy. Mexican all the way. Real big on burgers.
You and like I should have gone. We should have been out to eat at this point. Everything you're describing, I'm like, why did we never go out to eat?
Barbecue. I'm pretty open. I like to cook. I'm a real big fan of food. I like to cook. I like to watch cooking shows and shit. Big Chop fan.
I think
I would win it.
You think you could?
I think I could.
I want to
do a porn Chopped. I want to do a porn version of Chopped.
That's a bold statement to say you think you can win a Chopped. Not that I doubt you, but I'm like, that's because I too watch that show and I'm like, I am good. I think I'm a pretty good cook and I'm pretty well versed in a lot of things. I mean, I used to cook with the chef at the Armory. He'd be like, hey, let's do some things. So I was like, to me, that was the highest honor that I've got the Armory chef asking me to cook with him.
I had some of that food sometimes. That dude was a fucking killer chef. He would throw down.
Yeah. But I sit there and watch it, and there's times I'm like, okay, here's what's in the basket. And you see what's in the basket, and then you're like, and by the time I've wrapped my head around it, all of the contestants have said what they were going to do. So like, now I know what I'm going to do. But I feel like it would be, that's a challenge, man. That's hardcore. I'd sit down and watch it.
Maybe I'd probably be more likely to win on like a Chop Junior.
Those kids are fucking serious too, though, man.
I can't even say that with a straight face, man. The kids might crush me.
Those kids are fucking heavy, man. I was watching the first time I watched these kids, and I was like, this kid's 10 years old, and that motherfucker had knife skills like fucking Bobby Flay, like just as fast as he could.
There's like 8 years making like Bernaise sauce and shit. You're like, what the fuck?
From their head.
I don't even know what Bernaise is.
Yeah.
You've eaten Bernaise how many times in your life? You're 7 years old. How do you do?
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to cook?
What about you like to eat?
Me, I'm kind of the same way. Like my kid asks me all the time, he's like, what's your favorite food, daddy? Until the crisis started or the pandemic, we had a standing reservation at a sushi place, that we went every single Tuesday. We hung out, we sat in front of the owner. Where like we consider him probably one of our best friends in Vegas because we've, like I said, had dinner with him every single night for like 3.5 years, or not every single night, every single week for 3.5 years. And we haven't been because everything, even though it opened up a little bit, I'm like, you know what? I love sushi, but not enough to go sit down in there because it's too much of a risk. So sushi would probably be number one, but that's only once a week. And the main thing is because I can't make it. Although we are looking into places to get sushi grade fish and start making it at home.
Yeah. You got to make so much fun. You got to do it with your kid too. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So the second would probably be, a tie between tacos and burgers, because I love a good burger and like I get crazy with it. Like I do the good standard burger, we do turkey burgers, I do like a Korean barbecue burger from time to time, we do like a salmon burger that's made from scratch, and then we actually started doing probably 4 or 5 different times we've done like homemade black bean burgers, like veggie burgers that are really fucking pretty good. And then tacos, the same thing. It's like it's not just this kind of taco, like we'll do like a Korean infused thing. Like we have a Korean market out here. We had a really good Koreatown and Chinatown out in Vegas. And we go to the Korean market and you get like the Korean barbecue, the marinated stuff that you love to go get. And then you bring it home and make it yourself. So when I do that, we get like the whatever meat that we get. And then we have like the sriracha and I do a homemade slaw and then we pickle our own vegetables. So it's basically like this fusion of Korean and Mexican. Like I try and get down, man. I love cooking. And then everything after that
sounds
falls off.
I want to know. I'm pretty much guaranteed to ask more about that barbecue, the Korean barbecue burger.
That
idea of a Korean barbecue burger with like kimchi. Oh my God. Come on, man.
Okay. So the Korean barbecue burger.
I'm erect talking about
food right now. I love that I gave him a hard on. So the Korean, I'll actually look it up. I'm going to make a note right now to look it up and I'll fucking send it to you. Let's see.
I'm drooling.
Oh, dude, it's fucking, it's actually one of the things that I went in and convinced to the chef at the Armory. I was like, let me cook for you. I was like, you cook for us all the time. Let me cook for you and your guys. And he was like, you seriously want to do that? I was like, I'm making it. I'll take, you tell me the day that works for you with the crew that you, because, you know, his crew kind of rotated. I was like, tell me which guys, because I can't do it for all of them. So pick the crew and I will come in here. I will make sure I'm not shooting. I will come in here, let you serve, do through your lunch service. And when your lunch service is over, I'll come in here and cook for you. And I actually cooked for him. And he and his guys were like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, there's somebody here that's going to come in here and skip their lunch to cook for us. So that's one of the things I made for them. But it's fuck, I can't remember. It's really, it's a pretty basic recipe. You just take the ground beef, you mix it all together with these handful of ingredients, and then you let it sit in the refrigerator for however long you want to let it marinate. And then you make patties out of, you, I think, 4 or 5 hours at the least amount. And then you make the patties and you grill them. And then when you get through grilling them, you, you bring them in, let them sit for a minute. And then when you start plating it, anything that you kind of want at that point. But what I usually did is I would put like a, I would do like a mayo sriracha mix on the bottom, kind of like, you know, like when you go to sushi, that orange sauce that they put on a lot of stuff. So I had that I smeared on the bottom. And then on the top, I piled on kimchi and then hit it with a little bit more of just straight sriracha on a toasted bun. Oh, it's good, man. It's good. Everybody's probably like, wait a minute, this motherfucker's always talking porn and now he's talking food. It's good, man. I'll like I said, I've got a note right here. Let me fold so I'm not showing everybody everything else. But
you're going to have to do like a special once a week. Oh, yes. You're going to have to do a special once a week like food podcast where you just like cook.
I had, I posted something on Instagram that chef actually sent me, because him and I just randomly will send things. Like if I'm working on a certain kind of food, I'll take a picture and send it to him. And then I may or may not hear back from him. And then like just earlier this week, or last week rather, because today's Monday. Yeah. Last week he sent me a picture of that he took of me in the Armory cooking in the kitchen. And I put it on Instagram and people went fucking crazy over it. And someone actually said, you need to do a cooking podcast. And I'm like, you don't even know what I'm cooking. You don't even know if I'm any good. And they're like, as long as you, I said something like whatever, because I had like a wife beater on, a tank top. And before I was as round in the midsection as I am. So, but I was like, you know, they're like, nope, don't care. Don't care. We want to see you do a cooking thing. So I don't know. Maybe
if you put half as much energy into cooking as you do into your pornography, you're a damn good chef. That's for a fact.
I appreciate that. I do too. Also, I very much put it into it. I still can't remember what the fuck I was going to ask you. So let me move on to the next thing. So, cause this will kind of circle back. So your thing, and I apologize for not remembering exactly what it was, but your ailment, your,
yeah, ulcerative colitis.
I if it's not a word I'm familiar with, you hear I sound like a drunk. I'm like, oh, okay. But so
it's a form of inflammatory bowel disease.
So, but you have that under like control now?
For the most part, yeah. Like I still have symptoms and shit, but yeah, I started up on this pretty like heavy duty immunosuppressant drug and it kind of kicked its ass. It just like put me up to like 80-85% good. You know, I still got like a little bit of problems in the morning, a little bit of like rumbly guts type of thing. But I mean, compared to what it used to, I couldn't leave the house, man. Like I was trapped in my house for like 2 weeks straight. Couldn't go farther than like my mother lives about a 5 minute drive from here. Couldn't make it.
Fuck, dude.
You know, that's shit my pants.
I feel like it's,
and it's such like a, it's not even like a disease that you can be, I don't know. It's a very humbling thing. You know what I mean? Cause it's dealing with poo. Like anybody that shits themselves, like it's embarrassing. You know, it feels very humiliating. It's very humbling, but it was great because it put me in this place where now it's like, I'm pretty tough to stir up. You know what I mean? Like if you can get through shit in your pants and with a bunch of blood and all kinds of gnarly stuff, like I made it through it type of thing. I try and keep that attitude of like shit got tough and I pushed through, you know what I mean? And now I'm on the other side. Now I'm happy to be on the other side. I'm fucking living my life and I'm able to go out and be a dad, you know, and be a husband and do all the things and have a good life, you know? So yeah, I'm super, super grateful, super fortunate. It's funny. When you said, you know, that your kids talked, daddy, what are we going to eat? The daddy thing, like I started up Daddy Wild because of my kid.
Right.
Because I started up and I became daddy. And I was just like, man, I like it. I've always wanted to be daddy in both kind of aspects of my life. Right. You know what I mean? And now I am. And it feels really good. And it feels like it fits. And so I became Daddy Wild. You know,
which is cool because you very much, when you started saying it, I was like, yes, yes, yes. I love that he put daddy on there, but you're still a baby. You're still young. How old are you?
Yeah. 31.
Yeah. You're still just a baby.
Yeah.
But you're wise beyond your years too, man. I mean, like sitting here talking with you is like, you don't usually get to, this is something you get like closer into the 40s, not the early 30s or late 20s. But I mean, fuck hell. I've known you for a minute.
Long time.
I've known you since you were, what, 24, 20, 23, 24, yeah. Maybe?
23, maybe, yeah.
Holy shit.
7, 8 years. I mean, yeah, it's... I've always been kind of been like that, though. I've always had these really, like, kind of far-out philosophical thoughts cross my mind about shit. What is life? This life comes to an end. You know, what are we doing? Why are we pretending like this thing is just infinite and, you know... I don't know. I get wrapped up into it can be gnarly sometimes. Sometimes it can go in a dark place and you can go far down and you can go fuck and get real wrapped up. But
right.
I try and use that thought, like the way that my brain works and keep a positive attitude and promote love. Like I believe I'm a real firm believer in energy. I believe that people have energy. I believe that places have energy, you know, and I believe in putting out energy. I believe that if you put out energy, you get that shit back. And so what I try and put out is love and support and you know, just the genuine desire for the well-being of others and try and because it brings me, it's a selfish fucking behavior because it brings me the benefit. It brings me this peace and this joy and this happiness. And I feel like I love my life because it's full of positivity. It's not filled with drama and it's not filled with hate and people disagreeing because of how they look or, you know, right. So it's, you know, my life, I want those things in my life. I don't want chaos. I don't want drama. I don't want anger and, you know, people being so, you know, upset about things, even though, like, don't get me wrong, those things are vital to things that are, you know, important to things like change, like we're seeing, like, but at the same time, I don't want to miss out on my life. I don't want to get to this place where I'm like, oh, fuck, for most of my life I've been, you know, chasing something that is bullshit or, you know, I've been caught up in the wrong things and I've been wasting my time. My time. I always come back to my time. My time is so valuable because I know I'm going to die. You know what I mean? I always go like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die.
Right.
Like, I don't know when that is. It could be tomorrow. It could be 6 hours from now. I literally don't know. It could be 50 years from now. So I'm like, so just like, I need to take advantage of my moments. You right. know, like we have as a parent, I'm sure you've heard the saying, the days are long, but the years are short.
Yep.
You know, like nothing will teach you of time like having a child because I feel like he was just born. And now he's like a child. He's like a genuine child. I'm like, this is happening too fast. Like, I don't know how does this, I need to slow this down because I'm not going to have these moments ever again either.
Right.
They're gone now. So I'm not experiencing them as they happen. And that's the only chance I'm getting. You know what I mean?
Right.
I get to go back and relive it. I have this one opportunity. And like, you know, that's what sparked my panic attack that night was like, I started thinking about, fuck, what? I can't lose my family. I can't lose the people that I love. What if something happens? And all of a sudden, like, oh my God, I'm fucking, you know, can't breathe. I'm laying on the floor in tears, but it's so important to me to take advantage of the time that I have, whether it's a day, a week, a month, a year, 50, I don't know. So like the things that I do with my time, I make sure I want to do them. You know what I mean? Right. And I'm realistic. I know that there's times in life that you don't always get that opportunity. You have to do lame adult shit sometimes. But I also don't want to waste my life away. You right. know, I don't want to go get some corporation and work in a fucking suit and tie. That's for you. That's all good. That ain't for me, man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So earlier you said when you were describing that you do this and you do it and you felt, and you're selfish because you're doing it for you. But in reality, and this is something that I have thought about also, is that you're bettering yourself and you're doing it because it makes you feel good. And it's because it gives you this positivity. But in reality, what you're also doing is you're improving your relationship with your partner. You're improving the relationship with your child, because this is something that I had to do, is I had to sit down and kind of look inward, because I had this situation to where that little fucker would be like, and he'd say something. I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? And she's like, that's you, homie. Like, that's the shit that comes out of your mouth. And I'm like, oh fuck. So I had to start bettering myself, because I had no, well, I did have a choice. I could keep being a dick in front of him, and then he develops the same behavior of being a dick. And then he goes through life trying to figure out, why am I angry, and why am I aggressive, and why am I an asshole, and why do people keep calling me an asshole? So I've started, once I saw it, it's been this constant, this effort, and a consistent conscious effort to say, don't act that way. Don't yell and call somebody. Cause dude, we were riding down the street one time. I shit you not, riding down the street, taking him to school. And somebody cuts me off. And I'm like, you fucking asshole. And you know what my kid says from the back seat? What did I do? I'm like, dude, I wasn't talking to you. And he was like, oh. And I'm like, and I've never called him a fucking asshole. Just for the record, anybody that's listening, I've never called my son a fucking asshole. But it was me being, and he, I think he was.
I knew you had to have been crushed.
Oh, dude, it fucked with me. And I was like, that's, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't let him, because, and he did, it's not that I had called him that, so he assumed I was talking to him. He had his head down, and he was, I think he had his tablet or something. And so he just heard me yell, and he didn't see what happened. So he assumed that I was mad at him. And I was just like, it's just, I can't do this anymore. So I am now the guy that my wife's like, are you seriously not going to go around that guy? Or you're not going to honk your horn? I was like, babe, I got nowhere to be. I got everything I need in the truck with me right now. I don't give a fuck. We'll get there when we get there. So it's one of those situations where it's like you said, you consciously are doing it. And even though you say it's for selfish reasons, you're doing it for it. It's coming out in all the ways around you. That's bettering every part about you. So everything, even though you're saying, I'm going to take this step, and this step, I feel like by taking those steps, you've improved everything, every relationship you have with the people that you love around you, which I think is phenomenal also. So, let me ask you this. You said you're back to working out?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I wasn't going to ask you anything about working out then.
A little bit, but not, I haven't. So like I was anticipating, I got a little bit back into the gym right before the pandemic. Like I got strong enough. Cause like I literally dropped, like I was 205, like approaching 210. And then I dropped down to like 155.
Holy shit.
Yeah. 6'3", 155.
Damn, dude.
It was rough. And so after some time, I was able to like put back on weight, and then I started getting more energy. And that's when I started going back into the gym. And I was only in the gym like maybe, I don't know, fucking a month or two, pandemic.
Enough to get started.
And so, I've been trying to do, like, I've done some little workouts at home. The skate park is actually like, you want to sweat your fucking ass off? Just go out there and like hop on your old skateboard. We got quad skates. We gotten really into like quad skating, and that shit's really cool. Going into the skate park with the quad skates, like it's exhausting.
Quad skate? Is that just like the old school roller skates?
Yeah, roller skates, bro. Like quad roller skates.
Holy shit! My kid,
we're hip. We get down with the funk. We go like this.
Oh shit! So it's like fucking disco roller skating kind of shit. Yeah. Oh, I love that. See, I was never good at that. I was the kid who could get enough speed going but couldn't turn, so I would just drop because I was an asshole punk kid, and I would drop and bow into the fucking wall, and you'd hear them, whatever record was playing, and it'd and skip a little bit, and the DJ, it only took me like two or three times, and I'd be like, oh, sorry, guys, I can't skate anymore. They took my skates away, and that was my way of getting out of it, was trying to act like a badass, and in reality, I was just a dick. So I'm like, someone should have taken me out back and whooped my ass for that shit, but so I was never a big skater kid. I was a skateboard kid. And I probably told the story recently. The kid fell in love with hockey. We took him to his first fucking hockey game out here to go see the Golden Knights. He went fucking bananas. And that's all he talks about. So we went out and got like the NHL for Xbox. So all we, like him and I sit and play NHL together, either against each other or on the same team. every single day. We used to not play that many video games, but what else are you going to do? So we play that. And then he started taking ice skating lessons. And then the pandemic hit right as he was kind of getting to where he didn't need his little walker on the ice. And the wife was like, ice skating, rollerblading, they're pretty similar. And she's done both enough so I trust her opinion. And she said she used to rollerblade all the time, you know, back before we met when she was like hanging out in Venice and Venice Beach. That is everyone, Venice Beach in California. So she was like, I'll get some. You should get some. And I was like, hell, him and I can learn together. And I always teach him this whole don't give up. Don't just quit. Don't you need to be, keep going. Mine showed up and I put the things on and it was less than a minute. And I sat down and was and out loud in front of him was like, fuck this. These are going back. And he looked at me and he's like, daddy, you're going to quit. You're just going to give up. What about? And he just starts lecturing me. And I'm like, listen, dude, I'm almost 48 years old. If I fall now and break a hip, we're going to lose the house. Like the pandemic's bad enough, but if I get fucking injured, we're done. So
yeah, we're over.
So I told him, I was like, I'll make you a deal. I was like, we will box these up and I will walk inside right now and I will order a skateboard and I'll have it here within a week. I'll find one. I'll make it happen and we will skate together. And that's what I did. I went and found a fucking skateboard and it was one of those, and my youth, I would have shamed anyone who showed up with a pre like finished, like here it is out of the box. Again, I'm almost 48. I don't give a fuck. Give me, yes, bring me the goddamn skateboard. So I got a skateboard and him and I'm getting my chops back on not looking like a doofus when I'm on a board. And he is now, he looks like an old man, but that motherfucker can keep up with me on a skateboard. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. That was my case too. We got the skates like maybe 6 months ago. I was like, I'm going to get back. I used to roller skate up at the rink when I was like 17. And I got super into it. I'd go at like adult nights and because they always played like 70s disco and funk and real good earth, wind and fire type stuff.
Oh, shit.
And then everybody would just be cool. We'd be skating and having a good time and it'd be good music. And it was like lots of fun. So got the quads going, man. And the quad skates are fun. They're real fun, especially in like the skate park and stuff. But I bought another skateboard, too.
Oh, I know. I was gotta have all this. Me, you, and I just talked to Kristen Scott last week or so doing, because we were all kind of talking about this online. So I was like, let's see if I can get, I'll play director. And if I can get Owen, Christian, and Kristen, yeah, that's what we're going to do. we'll shoot it at my studio. Everyone brings their skateboards and we will do the thing. Because I think she said she goes out and skates like every day. I think it was every day she said that she goes out, or like goes out for at least a little while on her board. Because that's part of her like mental health kind of thing. Is like, she's like, I go out and I'm in nature and I just go skate for a little while. So I wish I did it more often, but when it gets over 100 degrees out here, it sucks skating. It sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Vegas is a different animal.
Yeah, it 100% is. So when this does get back to going, though, and hopefully it's going to be sooner than later, we are definitely going to have to start doing some stuff because there's content that needs to be made. There's a whole lot of stuff we need to start doing. I think that's all I got, homie. You got anything else you want to talk about? That was good.
I'm good, man. With that. What are we doing? Oh, shit, my thing stopped.
No, it's okay. We're good. We're about 11 minutes. Yeah, we're about an hour and a half in. So that was good. This is good, man.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take away from this saying that I will send you, and I'm as I say this, I'm waiting for people when I put it up. They're going to be like, we want the Korean barbecue burger recipe too. So if anybody wants it, that listens, hit me up. I'll put it somewhere if anybody asks for it and requests it. So before we sign off, I always forget to do this. So before we sign off, tell everybody how they can find you. Social media, OnlyFans, Loyal Fans, whatever it is. Tell everybody all the places they can go look.
Yeah, I am at DaddyWildX on Twitter. I do have an Instagram that is ChristianWildX, I think. Pretty sure. OnlyFans.com at DaddyWildX or DaddyWild. Yeah, at DaddyWildX.
Okay.
OnlyFans.com/DaddyWild is where you can find all the content that I'm making myself. It's super exciting, man. Like, I'm really happy that I have the experience in being in front of the camera, because now I kind of have a little bit more of a guideline of what to follow. Is shooting my own shit. It's so much fun being able to fuck with lights, and angles and ideas and creativity. Super fun. And I'm super grateful that you asked me on to this podcast. I'm like flattered. I've been watching the podcast and then you're like, hey, you want to do the podcast? I'm like, hang on, wait, what?
That's all, because I'm flattered you're sitting there telling me that you watch it. Cause I mean, I appreciate it. But I think that's the cool thing is, like we were saying earlier too, is like it's where you and I have the relationship, like I feel like I have with a lot of people, is where we want everyone to come up. I don't want anybody, I don't want to get to, you know what? It's not fun being on top when you're alone. I always look at it like right. that. Like you can be on top of the world, but if you're there by yourself, what the fuck is that worth? Like that sucks. That's right. It's just like knowledge. What's the point in having all the knowledge if you're not going to share it to help other people get up to where you are? So with that, I say thank you, sir. I appreciate you. You're a fucking badass, and I can't wait to do this again. Everybody, Christian Wild.
You guys are awesome. Love you. Thanks for watching.